Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Is Katy Perry trying too hard? Bill O'Reilly gets thrown out at Fox News, and Bill Cosby gets ready for court. Is Richard Simmons returning to the world? It's pilot season, and we're looking at shows picked up for full seasons. That and podcast talk with Joe Batanz now. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from the host of the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Podcast, Joe Batanz.
Yes, I'm sure everyone's very impressed I'm here.
Yes. Well, you came highly recommended, Joe.
Good.
The Grant's Rants alum, Jay Ellis, from episode number 43.
Yeah, I heard it. And 44, yeah. Too, when he was on the...
Yeah, he was on 44, too.
The Christmas roundtable or Christmas panel or something like that.
Yes.
You know what?
Here's a wild one.
I'm going to tell you something. We have semi-crossed paths before. There is a listener of yours who is so thrilled right now. I'm going to say like 1 or 2 years ago. When did you start Grant's Rants?
August 2015.
Okay. Somewhere around maybe after that, obviously.
Yeah.
Some fan of yours tagged me and you and another third person in a tweet and said, the three of you need to get together and do a podcast together.
I wonder if it was the Watch with Crappins guys, because I get looped into them sometimes.
I don't remember who it was, but yeah. I remember looking at going like, I don't know who these people are. I'm ignoring this tweet. But now look, you know, the person manifested, I don't know if you believe in that new agey stuff, but the person manifested us and sitting across from the one and only Grant Rutter.
Well, thank you. Well, look at that. Please ID yourself, because I want to know. Who put this in the universe all those years ago?
I'd have to go through all the old tweets.
Oh, it's too much work.
I'm not doing it.
No.
It's not happening.
No, too much work.
You know what? I'll be very LA and say it's going to happen, and then it never happens.
Yeah, no. They have to make the effort and let us know. But we're here making the effort to deliver this great show. So
amazing show. We have so many fascinating topics to break down here in Grant's Rants.
Yes. You know, it's always a varied grab bag, if you will. I like to think there are some things that are really smart and a discussion, and then others are like this the beginning topic, really. I mean, it's been a week of unicorn frappuccinos, people bragging about how high they got on 420, Coachella bragging. I can't deal with any of that. I can't handle it. But Katy Perry was caught drinking one of these unicorn frappuccinos. Did you try one? I definitely did not.
No, I'm already teetering on the brink of diabetes. I don't want to push it over the edge.
No. I've heard nothing good about it. I don't think it would be a good look to be drinking one of those.
No. Rainbow drink.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
No. They said the description is it's supposed to be like the powders of the world or something. Count me out. But Katy Perry had to spit this out on her Instagram story or whatever, and she had on a long blonde wig. And this woman, she's changing her look so much. I'm wondering if it's a gimmick for this new album or if she really is just coming into her own. She's pulled a lot of stunts. Where do you stand on Katy Perry? I've never been a card-carrying fan. I've never been to one of her shows. What do you think?
I'll tell you what. I was thinking about this today in preparation for Grant's Rants. I was thinking about this. And I was thinking, my relationship with... Look, here's the thing with music. Is I am so obsessed with so many topics that music has to take a backseat, okay?
Okay.
So I have people who curate music for me, okay? And then I listen to it in the car, and the way my Spotify works in my car, I don't see what's playing. I just know I like it. Now, I know Katy Perry. She's very famous. You know, I know her songs. But what I'm trying to get at is in terms of music, and I bet you the musicians would be excited to hear this, I don't care about them outside of the music. You cannot name one musician that I'm like, oh, I really wonder, you know, what Kaja Gugu is up to right now. What's Hoobastank doing at this moment? What are they? I don't care.
You don't care about the marriages.
Don't care
divorces,
about the marriages or the shaving the head or the drinking the unicorn frappuccino. I want make a pop song that I like, make something I can hum, make something. So what these stunts shows and shenanigans, I don't have time for it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I get it.
I will talk about it because I've heard about it. What was your question again?
Well, do I think there's stunts? The stunts and her in general. You know, so she's not on your radar, basically. Katy Perry.
Well, look, I read things in the news, and I know what's that. She tried to buy. She bought the convent. Remember that whole protracted legal battle with the convent in Los Feliz.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'll see her in the news. I'm not opposed to her.
Right.
She just look. There are people doing worse things. Don't even get me. Like Bieber.
Oh, well, that...
I have strong opinions on Bieber, actually. Yeah.
But on this one, she posted a picture. She, you know, I have no respect for anyone that the model is Guy Fieri. I mean, that's the look that she's got.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, she's got the nose ring in. It's like the hair, the same photo as Guy. And she's, you know, it's not like someone's saying she looks like Guy. She's putting out there like, no, this is who I'm going after. This is who I'm modeling myself after. Sad.
Yeah, well, look, here's the deal. She's 32, okay, which is... as you and I know, not very old at all, but in pop world, that's... we're getting... especially for a woman.
You know what?
Especially for a woman, it's a scary, scary time. Because you could either be Madonna and transition gracefully... or, well, yeah. Look, but in the 30s, she was still...
Madonna. Today, I'm a little bit...
No. Yeah, girl, stop. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm with you on the 30s. I got that far.
I think some people might say her best work was in her 30s, you know?
That's true.
But, you know, it's a scary time because... What do you do? Who are you appealing to now?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, she's too old for the teeny boppers. They've moved on to... you know, other people like this, you know, Ariana Grande or,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Or the older people, like she's going from the music you would hear in a hip hair salon to the music you'll hear at a supermarket.
Okay.
And she's making that transition, and I think that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to become a more important artist.
Right.
So it could be a weird, so maybe drinking the unicorn frappuccino is a weird, like when your mom starts... I remember my mom dancing to Nine Inch Nails one time. Like, you know, what's the one when it's like, I don't want to curse on your show, but the...
I don't know them. I mean, I know
Nine
of them.
Inch Nails, but they have the one song with the, I want to blank you, I don't want to sleep it, like an animal. I don't know songs.
I don't know. Yeah, but I'm with you on that. I mean, yeah, I don't... You know who did it right? Mandy Moore. She didn't have to make that transition. Now
she left show business.
Well, she's going to have that number one show on TV. This is Us.
I don't...
No, she's, like, doing really well, but that's because she's no longer doing music.
She's not doing music.
She's singing on the show, but she's not putting out an album. She's not trying to do a world tour at 30, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway, Katy Perry, I don't know, but she's been trying to pull a lot of stunts, arguably. Maybe, maybe not. Here's what it's been in the last 6 months.
It was
a controversy around her talking about how she hasn't gone crazy and shaved her head. People related that to her being disrespectful about Britney, because this was around the time when Britney dropped her album, so it was, you know, was that throwing shade? Then there was the whole Taylor Swift Bad Blood. She did a Vogue cover as Taylor Swift, similar in design. We'll talk about that in a minute. She talks about how she had to pray the gay away in her life, and then she said that her parents would let her be friends with gay people. So it's like these headline things. It's a little reaching. Then she says that then there was the political Grammy performance with the Constitution and all that behind her. Is this her trying to mature, finding this new direction that you mentioned, or is this a bunch of stunts to get, you know, on page six?
I think it's a combination of the two because, you know, at this time, a lot of people are just asking her questions because the album's coming out. And she seems like the kind of person, you know, like when you do a lot of interviews, you get bored. Because you're saying the same stuff over and over again.
True.
And she seems like the kind of person who would intentionally, she may not see it as a stunt, but say something a little salacious because it amuses her because she's not saying the same thing she's saying over and over and over again. But like I said, there probably could be some stunt. I think everybody goes through that at some stage, especially at this age. If you were a female pop star who's... not only is music 50% of her appeal, but also her sex appeal. And so that's starting to transition.
Yeah, with the new, like, Miley Cyrus haircut and the new look. She's on the cover of one of these magazines. I had it up earlier of her in one of those latex suits with long braids. Like, very unrecognizable as far as the image of Katy Perry, which is, you know, that whole cotton candy nonsense. And what I really don't care for in all of this is she denounced all those albums as fluffy stuff, and she says, oh, that all that California Girls has nothing to do with me. So you've introduced us already on a fake note, something that you already just can't own at this point in your career. So I never was a huge fan of hers, and I'm even less after this. Even less after this. I don't know. It's not, some of these things...
But why can't you just judge the music? Why can't you be like, is this a good song or not a good song?
Well,
who cares?
I will, and that song, Chained to the Rhythm, is lousy. I mean, it's like the music video. I don't know if you saw it, but it's literally hamsters eating like quiche. Like, that's what the music video is. I mean, it's not even in it. So that song is loud. It's supposed to be all about, like, a political thing. And it really doesn't carry any weight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion on that. Mm-hmm. Richard Simmons, someone who is doing everything not to get attention, but yet just grabbing it, of course, from everybody. I can't believe we're still talking about this. Did you hear the podcast?
Listened to the podcast.
Yeah. What did you make of that podcast? I thought it was good until the last episode.
Well, I knew... Look, I remember having a conversation with friends about this. I was fooled. You know, that whole fool me once, shame on you, you know, phrase. I was fooled by this cereal. Remember cereal?
Yeah.
And they had this, oh my God, and we're at Adnan Syed, and is he guilty? Is he not guilty? And everything, like, and then it just ended on, like, bleh, you know? And so I remember telling a friend, episode one or two, I said, look, this is very interesting, this show. But unless Richard Simmons comes on this show, or they get the Fakata housekeeper to come on this show, the show's, it's a waste. It's right. A waste.
Well, yeah, where's the end point?
Yeah.
Where are we going with that?
And so it's one of these things where... That shows at a high bar. I mean, the backlash was expected. I mean, it's unless you bring Richard Simmons on, then it came off as prying and as invasive, right. And it made you actually sympathize with Richard a little bit more, you know. And this guy seemed like he was sort of taking advantage of Richard, the kind of person that Richard was actually trying to hide from.
Now he's back in the news, and I kept thinking there's something they can pull from this. Information that they could potentially use to do a follow-up to that podcast with the latest. He's in the hospital and all that for severe indigestion. And then he posted this Facebook note, which I think is loaded with a lot of nuggets. I find it really interesting. He posts a picture that who knows when it was taken, but he's got the tank top on. Keep calm and carry on. And
2014 is that picture.
Oh, really? That was it? Mm-hmm. So I'm like... he's like the not exactly the poster child for keeping calm on things.
Yeah.
Like it was just, you know, the whole thing was a little puzzling to me. So I'm gonna read the note because when I read it, I was like, really, especially after listening to this initial podcast, Missing Richard Simmons, I was like, okay, there's a few things that I find interesting,
yeah,
that worth discussing. So here's what Richard says on his Facebook. He says, "Hello to everyone who has shown concern for me and sent their good wishes. You will never know how much it means to me. Aren't you sick of hearing and reading about me?" So here we go. He knows that all this is going on. They claim he didn't listen to the whole podcast and he was just getting snippets of things throughout the press. But he knows the presence that he has in the media.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, that confirms that. He says, LOL, well, by now you know that I'm not missing just under the weather. Shade to the podcast right away. Like, third sentence. I'm sure I will be feeling good and back home in a couple days. This has reminded me that when you need help, you can't be afraid to reach out and ask for it. We all think we should always be able to solve our problems all by ourselves, and sometimes it's just bigger than we are. Someone else... Richard, who was there for so many people and was kind of, I feel like this was a little bit of salt in the wound to people who he kind of abandoned. You know, you need to know to reach out to people. It's okay. Well, people reached out to him and gave him a lot of money over the years. Where's he?
Well, gave him a lot of money for what? For the products?
The cruises.
Well, he sold the product. He delivered the product. Look, here's the thing. Is one of the things that's interesting is just a couple of days before he was in the hospital, that was the big story, was he signed a multi-$1 million deal for some sort of like new...
Right, it was merchandising,
yeah,
and endorsements and leasing options.
So I think that there's a comeback in Bubbly. Maybe he real... You know, it could have... Who knows why he went missing? Who knows? You know, I kind of do think when you give so much of yourself the way he did, the way it's documented in that podcast, I think at a certain point... You just give up and you're done. And it's easier to just ghost, if you will, trapdoor it, than it is to have to go to every single relationship and say, hey, blah, 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 blah. It's probably very painful. I think the dog, they even mentioned on there, his dog had recently passed away. I think that was very hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was just easier for him to ghost everybody And he's also, you know, what the problem is when you're...
He made his life about helping people, though.
Yeah, but I think the problem is when you hear on the podcast is when you're a celebrity, people always want to present that they're better friends with you than they are. And so we're hearing people saying, oh, Richard and I were very close, but who knows how close they really were.
Right.
So, I don't know. I actually sort of strangely side with Richard Simmons. I think, like, if it was one of these where he was talking to some people, blah, 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 but he just cut everybody out, and it seemed like he was talking to his brother still. He was talking to his manager. And also in that same story, a cop who was there said that Richard seemed fine, and he was funny, and he was joking around, and he looked great. And so maybe some people just... They get sick of being famous.
Right. Well, he says in the sign-off later in this little note, he says, hope to see you all again soon. So I think there's something there, especially with that deal that you mentioned that he signed. And he'd be so stupid not to capitalize on all this, like, within the next, like, 6 weeks. And if not in the next 6 weeks, forget it. You know, you got to get on something immediately because he has been everywhere. They've been discussing about all these shows. So I would jump on that. Why the hell wouldn't you? Two Bills are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Bill O. Like, as my biggest nemesis in life, Barbara Walters, would introduce him, Bill O'Reilly. I can't stand her, and I can't stand him.
Yeah.
The two of... She would kiss his ass so bad. I wonder what she thinks about him now.
Yeah.
What do you think of his exit from Fox News? Him and Fox had to pay out a combined total of almost 13... around, they say, $13 million to these women. And that's not all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, look. In terms of actually paying it out, I mean, there's probably more. They're going to pay out more money. I thought you were talking about his exit. His exit, you know, I had people who came up to me and they were like, oh, what do you think about Bill O'Reilly? I'm like, he had the biggest show on this Fox. These networks have no morals. They will pick him up so fast. It may not be television. Actually, I was talking to someone over at Sirius XM Radio, and I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if Sirius throws some money at him. I mean, he has a background in radio. He's a broadcaster.
He's been around forever.
And it's a great place to hide out. You're still present. You're still doing things, but you... And he can make a nice chunk of change. It'll bring listeners over to satellite radio. But... he can make. I think that there's something like that in the works. I don't think he's going to start his own network, but someone's going to scoop him up. They would be a fool not to. I think they could have ridden this out. They really could have. I think they could have ridden it out. But I think, you know, the kids are taking over Fox now. Lachlan and what's the other brother's name?
You said his name. I know. Yeah, Rupert's kids.
Yeah, certain, and I think this was a way for them. Like, it was a good way for them to show that they're turning the corner here.
Right.
So it was a good out.
Well, they say they were split. The Rupert wanted to keep them. The two sons wanted to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And it just came down to bottom line dollars. They said between 50 and 60 advertisers had dropped, but they said that's not even the total. A lot of them remained private about this. The other advertisers didn't want to be associated with dropping Fox at all.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what the number was.
The point is, there's somebody recently... who, I can't remember who, it was running through my mind right now, who had a similar controversy, and advertisers left, and whoever, they just wrote it out, and the person was so huge, I wish I could remember who it was, that the advertisers slowly started coming back, you know, because you just can't deny the numbers. You just can't.
Right.
And so Fox, I mean, Bill O'Reilly has the biggest numbers on the show. The viewers aren't going to go anywhere. And he has his base, and then eventually, once everything died down, the advertisers would slowly start to come back, you know, once everybody forgot.
They could do, like, a full, like, up until September, a bunch of rotating hosts, so, like, fill-ins or whatever, and that would give it more than enough time. And then when they roll out in September, their new seasons, they could have them come back.
Food Network could have brought back this Paula Deen. They could have brought her back.
That one, yeah.
They could have totally brought her back. Because even what... You know what's so funny is... with Paula Deen is... And actually, you think, what does that have to do with anything? It's going to relate because you also bring up Bill Cosby. And I think they relate here. Is if you actually look at the Paula Deen case... It wasn't anything that bad. I think she made some PR missteps. But one, she's an old lady who admitted in court... that she had used the N-word 40 years ago. My parents probably used the N-word 40 years ago. That it wasn't as bad 40 years ago It was still probably bad, but it wasn't as bad 40 years ago to use the N-word, okay? One. Two, she was really defending her brother. She had never been accused of any sort of discrimination against black people. It was really against her brother, and mm-hmm. she was in court. She wasn't in court. She was doing one of those, I forget, the way you testify in the office. But in her brother's a lawsuit against her brother and the restaurant. So I think she could have written it out. I think there were some PR missteps, but she could have written it out. And then Food Network could have brought her back. They could have. I think they just didn't want to. Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe her time was done. So the reason it brings up is Bill Cosby, as I know on the – everyone should know that this Grant Rutter is so thorough. Like, mm-hmm. I know everything that's going to happen by the minute. I know every topic. He sends links. He's so organized. This show is such a professional show, Grant.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a small but mighty program.
So one of the articles Grant sent me was that Snoop Dogg had claimed that people should that Bill O'Reilly is not getting the same treatment that Bill Cosby did.
They need to equally humiliate Bill O'Reilly. That's basically what he said, the word humiliate. Like, Snoop Dogg needs to just not be involved with this. The public opinion will be what it will be. But that's the thing. But Bill Cosby, he deserves what...
He drugged and raped women.
Yeah.
It's
not like, you're getting it worse than me. Like, these people are two horrible men.
Yeah. Bill Cosby's up on criminal charges. Bill O'Reilly's being sued in civil court. You know, Bill O'Reilly did gross things and he should have to pay money. And look, there's always been stories about Bill O'Reilly being a horrible, horrible human being. All right. And that's probably why the Murdoch brothers were like, let's get rid of him, because they knew that he was a liability, just not even in terms of sexual harassment, but just the way he treated staff. Probably an HR nightmare, okay?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know to what extent all the sexual harassment was. I listened to a few interviews. It was a lot of uncomfortable circumstances. But, I mean, none of it is correct or forgivable. And what people are so obsessed with is the names, the two bills. But really, they need to look at Fox News and say, this was a morality. What's the word I want to say here? This was misconduct that went on for years, and it was exposed through a New York Times investigation.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to put everything on Bill and now say, oh, Fox is now clean and we're cracking down. It's like, well, you sat idly by and cut checks for years. So, there's going to be tremendous work that has to be done over there. I mean, if I was a female journalist, I would never go over there.
Here's the deal. I think it's easy because Fox News is a lightning rod and they're so partisan. But I'm sure if you dig underneath at NBC News or ABC News or CBS News, any of the networks, there, and it may not be now, but there's a history of shenanigans, okay? I mean, it's just sort of in their history.
Yeah, but to me, Fox just gives up such
the man
mentality behind all of it. Just, you know, looking at the representation of women that are on those screens are very much what men want to see. Like, it's very very masculine based to me in general,
mm-hmm.
Fox News. So I think that they've got some work to do over there. It's a shame that this all has to unroll and these women can't get paid, because if they get paid from these lawsuits, then it looks like they're only in it for money. So they have to just go into it just to expose the man and try to make long-term change. The whole thing rots. And Bill Cosby is now going to be... I can't wait to talk about this on this show, because I've been waiting for a celebrity legal battle to play out since I started this show.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the Anna Nicole Smith days, the Michael Jackson trials, all that. I would have done anything to cover when Paris Hilton went to prison. This all predates this show. So I'm waiting for this one, just because I know it's going to be a complete disaster. So Bill Cosby on June 5th is going to be facing his case. So
I predict that he will not go to jail and that he will not be found. Now, he may pay out the nose or through the nose civilly, but I think it'd be very hard to find a jury who's willing to send America's father, Bill Cosby, and he has enough money to get lawyers who can spin it the way they want to spin it, to prison. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be hard.
Well, I think his age and his failing health is going to really help. He's been playing up that blindness and all these health problems. And he's got his co-stars that are still on his side, a few of the few that are hanging on, and his daughter are there. There's all this planned press that they're going to go out there and speak about his character and growing up with him and how loving he can be. And so everything is in motion to play up on the image. But to me, the facts are on the page. I don't want to see him win anything.
You know what's funny is I can't wait to actually read an account of this case from the perspective of an African-American. Because even before all these charges came out, Bill Cosby had a very fraught relationship with the African-American community. And so I think this is why they have not rallied behind him, in that he was one of those very conservative black people who said, you know, you need to speak correctly and don't dress a certain way and you have to be – it's very old school and didn't like rap and hip-hop. And
right, rejected a lot of that culture.
Yeah, and so I think – even Snoop Dogg even saying that is sort of surprising, because he's had a very, very difficult relationship with the African-American community. Even – it's a very interesting one, because it's not – one, it's not like O.J. who totally rejected it and became white. It was Bill Cosby saw himself very much as an African-American, but as one almost as a nagging grandfather, or like, you guys need to behave. That's how you improve yourself. And
exactly. And I think he all but said those exact words. Yeah.
And you need to be personally responsible. And I think that gave him a very difficult relationship. And so now there's sort of like this, like, self-righteousness going on within the black community. Because I bet you Bill Cosby would not have been a very Black Lives Matter supporter.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, so I think that's why this is – it's going to be very interesting. It'll be years from now. You know, it'll be old men before we see it, but it'll be good.
Yeah, Bill, I don't know. I don't see him putting on the jumpsuit. I just don't. I think it would be very interesting if it happened, though. Like, I'd be watching. You know what I mean? I'd be watching.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Public perception has him deemed as guilty. There's no coming back.
Oh, yeah. No, his career's done.
Yeah, no, but in the whole thing, like, I would never... What's the point of going on? You know, your whole legacy is just thrown away. You know, your name is scraped off buildings, like, you're done.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. Who knows what happens when you die? People forgive a lot when people die. I mean, Michael Jackson had a very questionable relationship with children. Okay,
this is true.
Which is, yes, you know, I don't know what happened. I have my own theories with Michael Jackson and the kids. And then once he died, the best thing that happened to Michael Jackson's image was that he died. And so now,
that's that sad. Yeah. Isn't that horrible? That doesn't happen to me. The best thing that ever happened to me was I died.
Yeah, and now his the people who manage his estate, the it's in the black.
Oh yeah. Oh, God.
And what's funny is now. And you see this with a lot of legends, is that they get frozen in time. They no longer age. A good example is Elizabeth Taylor. You never really see old pictures of Elizabeth Taylor anymore. It's always
the
young.
The golden era of Elizabeth.
Even look now, just very recently, do you see any old pictures of Carrie Fisher? No. It's always Princess Leia. And remember
the
mean stuff they were saying about her after The Force Awakens? Oh, she looks horrible. And she's blah, 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 blah.
My old mother said that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, no, trust me, so did mine. Like, oh, she looks terrible. You know, she aged badly. But now she's just frozen in time at that age. Yeah. And so with Bill Cosby, look, it'll take some time. But once... memory, and then all of a sudden you'll start seeing the Cosby Show rerun. This is going to be like in 10 years.
Well, it's
years.
On Bounce TV. They have already. Yeah. They couldn't hold back on that already. Yeah. So you know what? It could be happening faster than you think.
Yeah. And then it's going to be like in 10, 15 years. Oh, Bill Cosby. And you just. Like, my nieces love Michael Jackson. They have the Michael Jackson PlayStation game and they sing and they dance and they just think he's the greatest thing ever. And do they need to know that? Do they need to know that? Why do they need to know that? Why can't it just be that character?
Right, right.
Same thing with Disney films. Do we need to know that he was anti-Semitic? Why is that important? He's not here anymore. He's not doing any damage anymore.
When we return, we're going to be looking at some shows that are picked up for full series, and we're going to be judging harshly on which shows we're into and which shows are just completely dead on arrival. That and more coming up.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube for bonus content. And now, back to the show.
And we're back with talking with Joe. And I think Joe is getting more of a laugh at me than I get laughing at myself.
Yes. And everyone should know, you know, I don't know how many people actually know Grant who listen to this show. I mean, I'm sure like a tiny, tiny 100th of the people who listen to this show actually know you. And so I'm fascinated by him. I would watch a documentary about Grant.
I don't know. I just don't think it'd be that interesting.
He's so fastidious. Like, and anything, you could ask Grant any question, and he would have a lengthy explanation of the story. Like, earlier today, I said, oh, are we going to use a jokey? Are we going to use this hourglass? He has a giant hourglass behind him. And I said, are you going to use this hourglass? And he's like, let me tell you. Like, I have it, and I used to have people come over, and I would turn it over because I wanted them to think that there were things going on, and I think it's 2.5. And I got a whole spiel about this hourglass.
Well, you didn't want to answer you yes or no. You know, like, oh, do you use this? I was going to say no. I felt like I had to give a little bit of a, you know, backstory.
Yeah, but that's the best part, is I think I've never seen more pillows on a bed than I've seen, not right now, there are 10 pillows.
And some of those, to give you some backstory, some of those pillows are custom made for my mother.
Exactly.
Just give you a little bit.
Exactly. There's so many. That's what I'm saying. Like, we could get a story about each pillow. I'm sure every I'm not even joking. I'm not even joking. I asked him about his wallpaper, and I got a 20-minute rant about the wallpaper and how many inches it was, and please don't look for the seams. It'll bother me all day if you do. Like,
this is true.
I lived it. Every single thing. Like, you could do a documentary on his apartment, which is great. It looks like he went to CB2 and said, yes.
That is the biggest compliment you could give me. Because, you know what? I kind of did.
Yeah. He went to CB2 and just went, I'll take that.
No, this was very methodically planned. I had to work with angles and light and all different, because I live in a studio, kids. Mm-hmm. So I had to be very careful, round edges. I tried to have, you know, things that are soft and certain color palettes. These curtains that I have are from CB2, and I saved up for like 2 months to get them because I had to get the specific kind. Anyway, if there were some cameras following me, they would have had a laugh this week because Mercury is in retrograde, for real, for real. So I had to be up so early. We're going to talk about the shows that are being picked up in a minute.
Why? Why do we need to talk about them? Who cares?
No, because I want to talk about those shows.
I have a story about the shows.
There's one I'm dying to go off on.
Let me tell you something. Okay, finish the story, and then I got a story for you.
So, I had to go in on Thursday for a 7 a.m. video conference meeting. We're supposed to have all these people that are supposed to help us out at work, all these AV people. None of them knew anything, not a clue on what they were doing. Keep in mind, I asked for them to send a specialist. They didn't send anyone that knew what they were doing. 7:01 a.m. There's about 30 people in my office, and then every other country, we have territories that are around the world. Over about 100 people waiting for this to start. No one knew what to do except me. I figured it out at 7:01 a.m. kicked off. But when I left that morning, I locked myself out of my apartment. So I had to take an Uber up to work. Came back here, had to go to walk around the city to get the keys from another manager. Came back, opened up the apartment, literally threw myself on that rug because I was so stressed out with everything. Then I said, okay, we're going to go. Left here, forgot my phone, came back, went to my car, dead. Had to get the whole car going to get to work. Went to work, locked out of all my accounts. All this before 11 a.m. So, you know, there's something there.
Okay, everyone, I want you to know he never broke his gaze with me when he did that whole story. One. Two. This is what you get if you just ask about a candle in this place.
No, it really isn't.
Three.
You just
made the pitch for your reality show.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you just want to see me suffer.
Isn't that whatever reality show is?
I guess. Yeah, if you just want to see someone be a complete upside down mess, then yeah. So there's more to the story, but we'll talk about these other shows, these scripted shows.
Now, while you pull that up, I'm going to tell you something. So earlier this week, a friend of mine calls me, and he says, what are you doing Sunday? Do you want to get together? And I say, well, I have I record my RuPaul's Drag Race podcast in the morning. In the evening, I have these plans, which we'll actually probably talk about later in the second half. But in the afternoon, I am doing this Grant's Rants show, this podcast. I'm a guest on Grant's Rants.
And everyone was like, huh?
And he goes, who? And I go, Grant's Rants. I go, here, look. I'm going to send you a link. I've been listening to the podcast to one of his YouTube rants. So you can see what he looks like and
blah, blah, blah,
you know? So I just...
Those are the old school, the pre-rants.
Yeah,
old days.
So
I used to do vlogs.
I just pick one at random. Don't even look at it. Just go, ah, there's six or seven of them, right? And just send it along to him. I go, check this out. I get this wall of text arguing to me... arguing with you through me.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
And I'll tell you why. It's the one when you're talking about the 2014 television season.
Okay. That sounds about right.
The shows that are coming out in the 2014 television season.
Was it with my grandmother or just
No,
me?
Just you by yourself.
Okay. Oh, those are the real old
ones. Yeah, and you're like, I'm going to talk about ABC. There's a show, Blackish. Bleh. There's a show.
Oh, I still can't with Blackish. Yeah. No, I was right in that.
Fresh movie. Off the Boat. What a horrible show.
Horrible.
Yeah, here's the problem. I just picked it up. This is an executive at ABC. So now he sends me this wall of
what,
like,
did you do to me,
Joe? I didn't know what was on there. He's like, well, you know, Blackish is in its third season. What is he talking about? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, this is so funny.
All he has
I can't wait to bring this up on Grant's Rants.
All he has to see is that those videos have like 75 views. So there's really nothing that special about what
I don't think
say.
He's worried about the views. He's gonna have a legitimate argument with you about what you said about Blackish and Fresh Off the Boat.
Well, thank you for getting me in trouble.
You're in big trouble. You're fired.
Well, good, because I'm about ready to rip into ABC again.
Let's do it.
So it's
I'm not afraid of him.
It's pilot season, and we're talking about these shows that are picked up for a full series. ABC, 10 Days in the Valley. Well, I mean, you know how I feel about the San Fernando Valley on this show. I 10 Days in the Valley is 10 days too long. I lived there. I lived that life. I hate the valley, but this is, I don't know what valley this is. But it's a 10-episode thriller from Rookie Blues, Tassie Cameron, following a TV producer whose 8-year-old daughter goes missing. Possible summer 2017 premiere. Wouldn't they know if it was airing in the summer? Didn't they do summer press tour? I don't know why this isn't already announced. But no, when it cut abduction storylines... Mm-hmm. It's too dark. There's too much going on in the world to worry about.
Who's playing the woman?
Kara Sedgwick.
Okay, Kara Sedgwick is... Who's believing she has an 8-year-old kid? Kara Sedgwick couldn't have kids 8 years ago. You're like, Kara Sedgwick, what, in her 50s?
Like, I think so.
Yeah. Like, she'd have to be on, like, IV... Is that what it's called? Andretro, IVF?
Oh,
you know,
IVF,
like,
yes.
Yeah. No. She's like so old now. Yeah. Like, who's believing this?
This is a show I would not watch, obviously.
She's granddaughter. You know, I remember one time a friend of mine produced a movie that they wanted Sandra Bullock to be the star of. And the movie required her having a college age son, right? Mm-hmm. And I won't say who ended up starring in the movie, but her people were like, Sandra Bullock would not have a college-age son. Sandra Bullock is 52 years old. Sandra Bullock would have a far older than college-age son.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I know. I'm just saying I'm with you. But this show, not for me. I don't need to watch anything about child abduction. And they had something like this like 2 years ago and not even on ABC. The second one over here.
But I think that one's a limited series though, isn't it?
Well, it's 10 episodes. It's a thriller, but yeah, I guess it would be like a one-and-done type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times this kid can go missing.
I'm going to text the person and see if it is.
But no. I want to be off that person's radar.
Oh, you're going to be so on their radar?
So then there's this other one. This actually sounds interesting to me. The Mist, based on Stephen King's novella about a dense mist that envelops a small town in Maine and conceals very scary things. You know, there's a cast that includes Francis Conroy, Morgan Spector, Alyssa Sutherland, and a couple others. This is going to be on Spike or the new Paramount Network, as they've announced. It's going to be changing over to Paramount Network. Stephen King's shows are pretty good. Their overall quality and how they're produced. So there's something that could possibly be here. You know, this could be something.
I think Stephen King is tricky. I think it depends who does it. And that's why I'm kind of worried that it's like a... Who is it again? Spike,
yeah. Viacom, basically.
Yeah. But, like, did you ever see this 11-22-63?
No.
So good. And it was on Hulu.
Oh, you know, I did look at some of that. I didn't care for the subject matter. I can't stand the Kennedys. Nothing political. I'm just tired of the Kennedys. But I understand.
Who do you like, Grant? Who do you like? We don't like Barbara Walters. We don't like the Kennedys.
The Barbara Walters, you'll never hear a positive thing. Speaking on the same topic, Daytime Divas, a show that's coming on VH1. This is a show I would watch because it's all about ripping into the view. Star Jones, a very controversial Star Jones, wrote this book, Satan's Sisters. Could never be bothered reading it, but because I knew it was going to come to TV. It's behind the scenes of a View or Talk-like daytime show. It stars Vanessa Williams, who I do love. Now, there's someone I love. I think she's wonderful. And a bunch of others are on there. And I'm definitely going to be looking at the show because it's supposed to be about behind the scenes on a daytime TV show.
Yeah.
So I'm in for this one.
But Star Jones is a horrible human being. But
that's why, and I enjoy her for it. I enjoy her for it.
So wait, you enjoy Star Jones, but you hate Barbara Walters. I want to go back to this. It's just a strange person to hate. So you want to see this thing about The View.
I wouldn't go
Satan's
on
Sisters.
View.
No, oh, yeah, daytime, we'll come back to the pilot.
Yes, the pilot Daytime Divas I would look at, yes. Here's another one, no interest in. I will not be looking at this. It's called The Looming Tower.
Yeah.
Drama adaptation of Lawrence Wright's nonfiction book centers on the rise of Al-Qaeda and the events leading up to the 9/11 attacks, including the rivalry between the FBI and the CIA.
What network?
Hulu.
That bitch is going to be good. This Lawrence Wright, did you read this Going Clear, his book?
Well, I'd love anything Scientology.
Read the book. Have you read the book?
No, I saw a documentary.
No. Don't. The documentary is like not even the toe in the ocean.
Really?
Oh my God. The book is cuckoo crazy. And what's so great about it, remember we were talking about the lawyers and the missing Richard Simmons? This is sort of a weird thing with Going Clear, the book. I recommend everybody read this book. Is it's so vetted by so many lawyers that you lose sense of what's up and what's down. And they will, so what they do is they'll drop facts that they've double checked, but there's no commentary. Like, so in other words, they don't want to be sued. So there's zero any kind of bias. Just like, so for instance, I don't know if they mentioned this in documentary or not, but his son was gay. L. Ron Hubbard's son was gay. And so they just sort of drop in the, at the end of the chapter, just out of nowhere, like, the son was found dead with like semen in his anus, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like boom. It's just a sentence. They don't comment on it. They don't expand on it.
It's just the thing.
They can't be. Notice the book hasn't been sued. They haven't sued them. You know, and the Travolta parts are so fascinating. My theory is that Travolta was sort of a source. So the rumors have always been that Travolta has wanted out and that the Scientologist has too much stuff on him. Because they actually, I don't know if this is in the book or not, when Travolta actually, because Travolta's son died.
Right, I remember that.
And he didn't get treated for his autism, I think it is. Or like he has some sort of disease. Or had some disease.
Yeah.
And he felt all this guilt as if maybe Scientology, you know, because they don't believe in treating that stuff.
True.
And so he felt this guilt, so he just slowly backed away and was sort of thinking, the rumors started spreading that he wanted to leave. And all of a sudden, news outlets with no return label started to get all this information about Travolta and his massages, and here's a photo of him kissing a man outside of an airplane. Have you ever seen that picture?
I have seen that.
And I remember Gawker, when it was still around, making a story like sort of insinuating that Scientology sent it. Like, we got this envelope. We have pictures. It has all this proof. We're not going to publish a lot of it. We're for Gawker not to publish it. What does that say?
Right.
And they're saying, but we want you to know that other media outlets received this information and it just came out of nowhere.
Wow.
And so that sort of scared him back into the closet. But the Travolta stuff is fascinating. The Tom Cruise stuff, fascinating. Oh, dude, you have to read Going Clear. And so that he did such a good job. And I heard that The Looming Tower, the book he wrote, is equally fascinating. He's an amazing journalist. And
I'm looking for escapism and entertainment. This is too real.
What's not entertaining about Al-Qaeda? It's the wackiest of the terrorist groups.
This is just too much for me. I don't see myself watching this. Maybe it'd be really juicy and really well done. And if it's super well done, then I would appreciate it for the work that it is. And that's how I feel about some of Ryan Murphy's stuff. Like, I like the way it comes together. I may not be interested in the subject matter. Like, this thing they're going to do with...
Gianni Versace.
Yes, the Gianni Versace, that whole show... I'm sure it's going to be well done. I'll probably look at it. I couldn't care less about the topic.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Do you remember the whole Gianni Versace murder? So I have an opposite view of you. I think Ryan Murphy picks fascinating topics. For the most part, I think the execution is terrible.
And I can understand why you say that. I can see that. I can see the other side of the coin, too. Anyway, just name one or two of the shows that you would watch or not?
Looming Tower.
You would look at Looming Tower, okay.
Because Hulu's been making some good stuff, too.
They're really trying to find buzz for one of these shows.
Well, what I like too is that they're also interested in short form. I think that they're more open to, you know, they're hungrier. They're not Netflix who's sitting at the top of the tower. Because they're hungrier, they're willing to take more chances, which I think is good. But they're willing to invest in quality.
Yeah.
That 11/22/63, I think is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about you. And
fascinating
topic. More about this everything that you do. You're a podcaster.
Yeah.
And you've got your show Catching Up.
Yeah.
You're over talking with Larry Flick
on SiriusXM Radio.
Yes, who I have so much respect for. I like him a lot. I listened to him way back when I was like a PA driving around, and that was like my little escapism of listening to the Morning Jolt show at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always been like on my radar. I think he's really great. I love the way he conducts his interviews.
So, Larry Flick, let's talk about that. That's an interesting one. So, I have this small personal journal podcast called Catching Up. And you had said, let's talk about Catching Up. And it's one of these things with Catching Up where it's a personal journal. It's literally me telling stories from my life. I think you listened to a few episodes.
Yes.
But it has a decent-sized audience. It's not a huge audience, but it's not small, it's not tiny, it's a really nice size. I'll be honest with you, this is sort of weird, I want to keep it that way. I truly do pour who I really am, my heart, into this show. I can't speak for Mike, I'm not saying it to just knock Mike. Mike has a different relationship with the show, but I really do. It's important to me to really show the ugly side of me, the sad side of me, the happy side of me, the funny side of me on the show. And because of that, I see it as a very private, intimate thing.
It's like a personal journal.
It's exactly what it is, a personal journal. But I think the people who listen feel like they have a personal relationship with me. And I want the listeners – I don't want it to be a mass market show because, you know, in the early days of that show, I would try and get all my friends to listen because you want to get as many
– Of course.
Since then – I do the opposite. When people ask me now, like, what am I catching up with? I intentionally am vague about it, and I don't want people to listen because, one, I want the freedom to talk about them. Two is I also – it's so deeply personal that I don't want them to see it as entertainment. Episode 149, I happen to remember that episode, was the day I talked about that my boyfriend and I broke up. And it's very emotional. I cry on the show. You know, and I dedicate a song to him, and I'm really upset. If you just listened to it on your own, you might find it interesting. But if you were a listener, it was obviously not like breaking up yourself. But they were there. I mean, I know no longer that I was on the show. But from he's just a friend, through the development of, oh my God, this is a thing.
Right.
To the relationship.
Think
about the relationship.
They saw the whole
thing. And then to hear an end of it. You know, it was emotional for me, but I think it was also emotional for other people. And I think some people were like, that's so weird that you would bare your soul on the show. But to me, for someone listening, I think, you know, when I broke up with Cam, his name was Cameron, when people were trying to comfort me, I liked either people who would make me laugh or I liked hearing breakup stories because it made me feel not so alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that episode stands for that, and now that's, you know, many episodes later, it's almost a year later, that everything's okay. So that show, back to Larry Flick. So Larry Flick is a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race and was trying to find a good RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. Found our show and then wanted to know more about the different hosts. He listened to everybody's individual shows. They didn't connect with the other ones. But really connected with mine and, going to what I said, really sort of bought into our lives and the relationships, and so became obsessed. Not obsessed, I shouldn't use that term, but like, he wanted to talk to us, and so he reached out to us. Now, I got to admit to you, and I think Larry knows this, I had no idea who he was. I thought I was like a crazy listener, right?
Yeah.
So he was just like, hey, guys, I really like the show. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then he was like, would you come on my SiriusXM show, and we will – I want to interview you guys. And so I was like, what the – and so it's – so my relationship with Larry is – so then Larry, after that interview, really took me under his wing, asked me to be on every week, and – but it's been sort of an amazing thing. But what's funny is I see Larry as a friend and not but I meet people like you frequently who are like, oh my God, Larry Flick. I used to listen to him on the, what was it called?
Morning Jolt.
On the Larry Morning Flick. Jolt and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, and I make him laugh when I said, I'm like, people like you? Like, you have fans? And he's like, ah, yeah, and yeah, so, yeah, Larry Flick is a great guy, and if, you know, and we can talk about this later, but if the broadcasting thing takes off, I owe it almost all to Larry Flick.
Wow.
You know?
So that's how that all came about. He reached out to you cold, and so you call in, or how does it work? I know he's in New York.
Yeah. So it's like you're at a big radio board, and then there's a mic, and it's super fancy. Mm-hmm. When you're not working, sometimes you come with me.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. I'd love to check out, like, a real... set up.
No, you know what? It's very impressive.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I bet. Yeah, so what else can you tell us? You know, talk to us about your other experiences out here. What is your goal? What are you here to do?
Well, it's so funny that you say that because I think recently it's changed. So I'm from Los Angeles originally. And I think, and then I started doing stand-up comedy. Well, no, I initially started in music videos. Okay. And I did that for a few years. And then I was like, meh.
What did you do in music videos?
So what happened in music videos is it actually works very similar to like advertising. So what happens is when you work for a production company, let's say Green Day would come to you and say like, we're coming out with a new album. Here's a song we want to make a video for. Sort of pitch us your idea. And so I and a director would write the treatment and I would actually physically write it. And then they present it and then they decide the ones they like and you go through a process. And then if you get chosen, then the production company gets the gig. So I did that for a few years. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, so I didn't do that. And then I transitioned right from then into becoming – so the music video thing took off and then that led to like, oh, do you want to write screenplays? I was like, sure. And I got super into screenplays and that actually went really, really, really well. And there's a million stories like this, but this is years ago where I had – and it just seemed so easy then, you know? It just happened so naturally that I had really big meetings with big people. Like, I met with Mick G about helping him with Superman when he was doing that, you know, years ago. And I met with this person about this book. And I wrote a Bukowski adaptation that fell through. It's like most stories in this town, things fall through for the dumbest reasons. And the Bukowski one broke my heart. I was really attached to that one. And when it did, I was like, screw this. Mm-hmm. I hate this town. I hate this business. I'm out of here. So I went and I started my own company for a few years. So now I run a nonprofit corporation that helps poor kids get into college. But then what happened was...
something very meaningful in this world.
Yeah, you know what's so funny is like, yeah, people like in this town especially, like they lose their mind on that, you know? So I know. So what happened in the meanwhile is I... somehow stumbled into, which is so funny, I'm so frank on my show, but I actually do not talk about this side. Actually, you're getting a Grant's Rants exclusive with Batanz because I actually don't talk too much about this side of my life. So I stumbled into a kind of really A-listy world, and I've now developed relationships in that world. Strangely, I've never used any of them. So the only thing I would say with that is a few years ago, a really good friend of mine who is a successful film producer and director said, you know what? I like you. You're funny. I want you and this other friend of mine to write a movie. Well, in the meanwhile, by the way, in the interim here, between last screenwriting phase one and screenwriting phase two, I was a stand-up comedian. And that becomes important later to what things are now. I want you to write a feature film. I'm going to produce it. We're going to get like Kristen Wiig or Melissa McCarthy to star in it and blah, blah, blah. He already had the idea. He had the concept. Mm-hmm. Write this movie on this concept. And so we write the feature film. It goes through that whole thing, which I don't know how in-depth you want to get in that. And it goes through the process. And it's so funny that, you know, I'm like, this guy's a big name. It's good. This is going to be huge. This is the thing. Yeah, we're going to do this.
Good, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, Kristen Wiig passed. Melissa McCarthy passed. Anna Kendrick passed. You know what's so funny is I had pitched Amy Schumer before Amy Schumer was Amy Schumer. And I bet if we would have hit it then, it would have been a good timing thing, right? But then Amy Schumer passed, and then this, and then all of a sudden. So actually what's funny is then it just quietly died. But then, here's what's funny, how these things happen, is just a couple of months ago, he emailed me and my writing partner, and he said, I've been thinking about that movie, and I want to send it to... Now, by the way, the person he sent it to is so... It's two people, actually. See, my writing partner, she's not really a writer, and she's moved on. She's doing, she's not even, I don't think it's show, I don't even think she'd consider herself in show business anymore, right? She, this is now like revived it. She's like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, give it to them, let them do it. But we've written so much on it that I know we'll get the screen credit and we'll get some change. But I've moved on, I'm doing other things now, and I have no interest in that anymore. Yeah. If they do something with it, great.
Well, it's out of your creative system. You've done it.
I've done it, but I think for her, that's the one thing she has.
Okay. But I've been on both sides of that. I've had a project, too, and I just gave everything to, and I made it all the way up to the end, and I had a roadblock, and just time didn't prevail, and given the opportunity to do it now, I'd be like, no. I feel like I did it.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have anything to show for it physically,
yeah.
I wouldn't go back.
Yeah, no. I'm in agreement. The only thing I asked for was, if these people say yes, I'd like a meeting with them. Because one of the things that was interesting was my writing partner and I wrote a very funny movie. We knew that this producer was going to do a pass on it. So we intentionally, there were little problems, like story problems, but we were like, he'll fix it. And we moved on. And so we presented a draft that was very funny with some story problems. Well, we gave it to him. He fixed the story problems, but then he removed everything that was funny. And so then once the final animal came out, it was such a different beast than what we wrote. So what I would like to do is if we have this meeting to say, like, tell them the story of what happened. Like, because these people are very funny, actually. And say, here's this script, but... And you're going to do whatever you want with it, but here are other drafts that you should see because there might be funny things in there that you want to use. So that's the only one thing I want from the meeting. But other than that, take it, you know, and peace be with you or whatever people say. I just sort of had this epiphany that I kind of feel like, where are you on New Agey stuff? You don't seem like you're super into that. Or
like New Age music?
No, but more like, no, not like Yanni, but more like the universe and manifestation.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah. I meditate.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So I sort of felt like the universe has sent me some messages through Larry Flick. You know, last week, I'm in a... My cousin's super into being Mexican. And so he convinced me to take this really cheap gay playwriting class in East LA, which I don't really like writing plays. It's like, oh, it'll get me to write, you know?
Yeah.
And last week, I forgot we had homework, so I just sort of cheated. This story is actually on Catching Up this week, the full story. And I kind of just copied and pasted an old pilot that I'd written, a spec pilot, and made it look like a play. I figured, nah, I won't turn it in, but I'll have my homework done.
Yeah.
And they had it. They're like, oh, well, we're going to do a reading of your thing right now. And it was horrible because it wasn't even meant to be read. It was like literally, if you've ever seen a play, the scenes are very long, but in television, the scenes are very short.
Right.
So people were like, oh, you know, like it was very odd, right? And so I was feeling really low. And then afterwards, a person came up to me and he said, a guy, he's very nervous and his head was down. And he says, can I ask you a question? He goes, I heard your voice earlier, and I know that. I said, I know that voice. And then they said your name, and are you on a podcast? And I said, yeah. And my cousin who's with me says, hey, he's on a couple. And he goes, are you on RuPaul's Drag Race Recap? And I go, yeah. And he started shaking. I've never had like a fan like that before.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Like, I can't believe I'm in the same room. Oh, this RuPaul's Drag Race Recap is so popular. I can't even tell you how popular it is. Weird. Oh, especially when you're doing a recap of another show. Mm-hmm. The fans of RuPaul's Drag Race are insane. So, and I was like, what? And so, I was flattered, but I also felt like, I think this is where I'm supposed to go. So going back to the stand-up comedy is, look, when I was doing stand-up comedy, I hated the life. Okay, mm-hmm. You're up until 3 in the morning. You spend more money because you don't get paid in LA to do comedy. Even if until you're like crazy famous, you don't even make it. I mean, even the people that you've probably seen on television, they still do comedy for free a lot of times. And so you're spending money because you're at the bar drinking, and then you're up till 3 in the morning, and it's just a very exhausting life. And even when you make money to go on the road, when you're on the road, you're essentially just working to survive. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So. And with stand-up comedy, I was decent, but I wasn't going to win any prizes for my stand-up comedy. You know, I would have to work really, really hard to be a B+.
Okay.
And while my writing partner, she's not going to listen to this, horrible writer, okay, terrible. And you're like, what? Can you even put a word together? One of the most naturally gifted stand-up comics I've ever seen. Okay, mm-hmm. She just has the gift. She doesn't use it, but she has it, and she could just effortlessly be an A. Okay, and so that's the thing: is people pigeonhole people in show business, and you probably understand this, where they think, "Well, you're funny; you should be a stand-up comic." And I think I've learned my humor is more, or what I have to say, where I'm compelling, is more. I don't understand. I just dropped it, funny, but is more in conversation. Mm-hmm. When stand-up is a very, people don't know this, but stand-up is a very, very strict art form with a lot of rules.
Very much so, yeah.
It's not just you go up and talk. You have a very strict set of rules that you have to follow. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the universe is telling me that this is sort of the direction I need to go. And I'm interested in people.
I can so relate to
that. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm interested in people. So like even telling you, like, I want to see a documentary about you. I don't even have an interview show, but I would do a 3-hour interview with you. Does that make sense? Yeah. And just to get to the inside of Grant's rants, you know? And so I sort of think I have to be comfortable with that fact that sort of broadcasting is the way to go. And, you know, podcasting, I think, as you've seen with the success of your show, is I don't even think we've hit the apex of podcasting. I think it's as kids become more and more adept at this, so RuPaul's Drag Race Recap has been on four, I think it's our fourth season maybe. And when we first started, now it's still like this. Here's the shocking thing. You would think RuPaul's Drag Race Recap would be mostly gay men. It's strangely about 50-60% female, like straight female, like housewives. And they're maybe like 25-55 range. Uh-huh. Okay. Hmm. But a surprising significant portion of our audience is like 13-16-year-olds. Okay, and if you want to talk about why that podcast is so popular, and I never thought about this. You and I don't think about this. We live in Los Angeles, but it's not uncommon for us to get an email that says, "I live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I'm the only gay person that I know here of, and I watch the show, and I have no one to talk about this show with."
Yeah,
and this show scratches that itch. We just got a letter the other day from a guy who's in the military. He's in the Middle East. It takes him 8 hours to download one episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, the video.
Wow.
And he has no one in the military. No one in the military is watching RuPaul's Drag Race, right? So this show fills that itch because you watch the show, but you also, it's a show you want to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about other shows. Yeah. So it shows you there's an intimacy to, like, for instance, you and I are having a conversation. I don't know how many of you listeners you have, and I'm sure you have a lot of listeners. But what I'm saying is there are people that you don't know about who this show is important to them.
That nothing makes me happier or more motivated to continue on. Mm-hmm. To hear from even an Instagram at the bottom of the messages, like, loved your show, or I listened from... One girl sent me a picture of her listening to the rants. The logo was up on her dashboard in her car. And she was in Australia. And she listens all the time. Love you for listening. And, like, that just made me so happy to know that someone who really, we talk a lot about American TV. You know, it's all about American celebrities, that they care enough to hear the little bit that we'll throw in about maybe someone they know or the housewives, something like that. Nothing means more to me than someone who goes out of their way to listen to this show.
So there's an
Why?
And there's an intimacy to this medium that we forget. There's not an intimacy to television. There's not an intimacy to cinema, which is fine because they can be their own forms of escapism. It's a different medium in that that's how people connect to us, is through the sound of our voice. Now, one thing people should know, because I think I've talked about this with Jay, actually, is, and I want to bring something up here. It's going to start with a compliment. Okay. It's not going to end with a compliment.
All right. I'm ready.
People should know, if you don't know, this Grant Rutter is so handsome in real life.
All right. Where's the slam? I'm ready for the slam.
Yes, because you're hearing it. I have shocking news for you. He is not an 80-year-old rabbi. Okay?
Someone said the other day, I looked up what Grant's rants looks like. I had no idea.
Yeah, but so handsome. He's sitting in front of me here, right? And but you wouldn't know it from the voice, okay? I'm the opposite. I have this, I've always said, like, gay guys swoon over my voice, okay? I think here's why. I have a theory. It's not too straight, it's not too gay, and it has just the right amount of vocal fry, okay? But the, guys, what you don't know, I look like a monster. I look like a Jabba the Hutt candle that's half melted, right?
That's you are a stand-up. You are a stand-up with the self-deprecating. Yo, go ahead.
So... That's the power of this medium, is the people imagine in their head, and this voice becomes so important, and they rely on it. Again, going back to the emails, I'm going to Drag Race recap because it touches so many people's lives. Is I had a woman today who was like, "When is the episode going up?" Well, you know, we just taped it today, and she said because she listens to the episodes multiple times, and these people. Now, I understand, I recognize it's not necessarily me, but that they're connected to this RuPaul's Drag Race show, and this show just is more information from that universe.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you're on AfterBuzz, so you're essentially doing the same thing for different other shows.
Correct. It all latches on to one home base.
But the point is that broadcasting can be a very intimate medium, which, to go back to what we talked about earlier, it's surprising that you have... so here's update... it is, what was the name of that show? Oh, 10 Days in the Valley is a limited series, but it has options for more seasons. Okay.
Okay. I guess the girl will get lost a couple more times.
It'll probably be like an anthology show. Okay. So, could you not bring back Kira Sedgwick? Well, I don't know if she was on that dumb show on USA.
No, she'll do it.
Yeah, she'll do whatever. Yeah. Okay. Just to get away from that Kevin Bacon. So, going back to stand-up comedy, here's the deal. It's a very white man's game. And it's horrible. And it's like, so let's say there's 10 comedians on the bill. The 8 comedians will be white men, and they'll reserve one spot for a woman and then one spot for a person of color.
I drive up my street and I see the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
And I always see like who's playing. And it's pretty much that combination.
There's
a lot of female comics in that one, but there's very few minorities.
Oh, very few. But that's a whole... I mean, we could do a whole other show. Which, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Next time I come back, we'll talk about people of color... in this world. I mean, I sound like a white person, but I'm a person of color. And I have so many stories about that, you know? And so, that's an interesting topic too, because, you know, I feel like I'm floating in that world, in that I'm not Latino enough. Like, I'm in that Chicano, like, gay playwriting class, and they could tell, they're like, who's this white guy here? And white people see me as the Latino. So I'm floating in this weird purgatory where I don't know who... Because humor-wise and my story-wise and my life view-wise is very white person, maybe even Jewish, okay? Mm-hmm. Whereas, but my name... and I don't know. That's a whole other topic. We'll have to come back to Grant's rants.
Right. Well, all right. What do you want to promote? Where can we find you? Talk about where we can find the podcasts.
Well, you can find RuPaul's Drag Race Recap... anywhere you find podcasts. But you have to listen to RuPaul's Drag Race. Don't listen to Catching Up.
Oh, okay. You're a first. Someone coming on, promoting something, and saying, you know what? Don't bother.
No.
Don't bother.
And by the way, if you do, just start with the latest episode. Well, people go like, oh, but you have 184 episodes. Just do the latest one. Yeah. You'll catch up. And then...
Well, on that note, I'm going to say kind of the opposite to that. This episode is episode 57. Listen to episode 56, go back one, because I feel like a lot of people haven't heard that one yet, and we're quick to put this one out, and I want, because it hasn't been the full amount of days that I usually do, and that was a really good show, and I don't want people to miss out on that. So I have a programming note. Listen to that episode with June Flory after this. Okay.
Next, every Monday at noon, I'm on Larry Flick, 101 with Larry Flick on Sirius XM Radio, Entertainment Weekly Radio, channel 105. Try doing that in one breath. You know, yes. It's hard. So it jumps around. So right now it's Mondays because of Drag Race, but whenever Drag Race isn't on, it's Fridays where we talk about pop culture news. So we're going to have Grant doing his rants on Sirius XM Radio, make his dream come true.
I would love to chat, believe me. I would
with
love
Larry
to say,
Flick and everything, I know.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great. Thanks for this long chat. We had a deep discussion, kids.
Yeah.
This was a lot. My God, we covered a lot. So that's great. So we'll have to keep up with you, keep up with the show, and there'll be more rants to come on Grant's Rants.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.